women. Oh, wow. What?
I didn't realize that.
Oh my gosh. Wow. It is really all women. Yeah. I love it. And yellow was clearly on the memo for folks. This is amazing. We should take a photo after this, guys. Okay. I don't know. Are we live? Oh, we are live. Okay, here we go. Good afternoon, everybody. Today's jobs report underscores the Biden-Harris administration's important work to grow the economy from the middle out and bottom up. 206,000 jobs were created just last month for a total of 15.7 million jobs under President Biden's leadership. And wages are rising faster than prices over the last year since the pandemic. While unemployment ticked up slightly, a big reason for that is more Americans are joining the workforce, with the highest share of working age Americans in the workforce in over 20 years. As the president said, that's real progress for hardworking families. Still, we know there's more work to do. That's why President Biden and congressional Democrats are fighting to make big corporations pay their fair share, protecting Social Security and Medicare, and lowering costs for hardworking families by capping insulin and prescription drug costs, lowering grocery costs, cutting taxes for families with a child tax credit, and having a plan to lower housing costs by building 2 million new homes and increasing rental assistance. Congressional Republicans are siding with the special interests and big corporations at the expense of the middle class by trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act and attempting to cut Social Security and Medicare, and fighting to extend the Trump tax cuts to give the wealthy and big corporations more tax giveaways. The difference between President Biden and congressional Republicans couldn't be more stark. Next, earlier today, President Biden called Prime Minister Starmer of the United Kingdom to congratulate him on his appointment as Prime Minister following yesterday's election. This is a special relationship between our countries, and the president conveyed that he looks forward to working closely with the Prime Minister on the full range of critical issues that the United States and the United Kingdom are engaged on. The President told the Prime Minister that he is committed to deepening US-UK cooperation in many areas of our shared interest. President Biden looks forward to welcoming the Prime Minister to Washington, D.C. next week during the NATO summit. We will have a readout of that call to you to all of you very, very soon. With that, Colleen, there you go.
Okay, so can you tell us anything about how the president has been preparing for the interview today?
So look, the president is preparing for this interview like he does with any other interviews. As I mentioned, he's done more than 40 interviews this year already. He did two radio interviews yesterday. You heard give a compelling argument for the case for his administration and what he's been able to do and how he's had an unprecedented record of delivering for the American people, whether it's the economy. I just talked about the jobs numbers today, 15.7 million new jobs, and continuing to build on that, whether it's expanding health care. So look, he made a compelling case yesterday on these radio calls that you guys heard. He'll make a compelling case tonight. I don't have anything new to share in the sense of like, he prepared for this like he does every other interview. He's looking forward to not just the interview, but certainly talking directly to the American people. We're expecting millions of Americans are going to watch. I know all of you will tune in, and he's looking forward to it. And let's not forget, he's going to be in Wisconsin, where he's going to engage with the public, with Americans as well, and speak directly to them. And he's looking forward to being in Wisconsin today.
Can I also ask one more thing? Can you clear up something from last week? So you had said that the president hadn't been seen by the doctor at all. And then in a call with the governors, the president said that he had had a checkup. So I just wondered, can you explain the discrepancy?
I'm happy to speak to that. So he did have a short verbal check-in in the recent days about his cold. It wasn't a medical exam or a physical. Just want to be super, super clear about that. It was a conversation. And his doctor didn't think an examination was necessary. I do want to take a little bit of a step back. The way that the president, the president has doctors, a medical unit around him 24/7, and that's not because of this president, that's with all presidents. And the way he certainly experiences his engagement with his doctors is very, very, very different than Americans across the country, right? Americans, they have to get in a car, get public transportation. Some Americans are lucky if they get to see their doctor more than twice a year. And so just want to be very clear about that. His experience, obviously, with dealing with his medical unit, that's right down the colonnade, if you will, from the Oval Office. But he did get a verbal check-in with his doctor a couple days after.
Can he describe it as a checkup? I mean, I guess...
A check-in. It was like a verbal check-in about the call, which is again about, not the call, about with the doctor, which is not unusual. It is not unusual. As I said, the medical unit travels with him and is with him 24/7. That is not because of just this president, because of all presidents, and it is a very different experience than what we understand that the American people experience.
Just follow up on that. Did you say that it was about the cold, or was it about how he felt and how tired he was?
So he did not get examined for the debate. He checked in with his doctor for the cold, and I believe that was what was reported in the governor's call. So just want to be super clear about that.
Dr. O'Connor?
I'm sorry?
Was that Dr. O'Connor that he had that verbal check-in?
Dr. O'Connor. And as you know, Dr. O'Connor is his lead doctor, and when Dr. O'Connor is not around, there are other doctors. It's a medical unit team. And that's kind of how it's always functioned in the past, you know.
That call was that the president does not want to schedule events after 8 p.m. The president's time is his most valuable asset. Can you tell me a little bit about how he's going to be able to govern and campaign effectively if he is shortening the amount of time that is available for those duties?
And you said something at the top, which is really true. The president's time is one of the most valuable things that we have, right? I'm going to be really mindful and not speak to private conversations, but there's a couple of things I do want to say here. Is that, look, the president works around the clock. It's a 24/7 job, 365 days out of the year, obviously. He also recognizes the importance of striking a balance and taking care of himself, just like we all have to. We are all humans. The president is human as well. He shared that view with governors and took ownership of trying to do too much in the lead up to the debate. That was the conversation. But if you think about, and you'll hear the president talk about this, you've heard me talk about this, you think about the 3.5 years of this presidency and what he's been able to do, and it's been unprecedented and historic, whether it's reaching across the aisle to get really important piece of legislation done on behalf of the American people, the jobs report I just mentioned, in making sure that healthcare is expanded and includes more people, beating Big Pharma. If you think about the gun violence and dealing with an epidemic, there's been many, many things that this president has been able to do. And it is very much in contrast to what Republicans are doing as well, whether it's Roe, continue to going after Roe, national abortion bans, where the president's trying to fight for a woman's right to choose. I mean, there is a long list of things, successes that this president has had.
Going forward, if there's going to be a change to where he can't do things after 8 o'clock, we're not talking about the last 3 years, we're talking about potentially the next 4 years.
Look, here's what I say, Annie. You have seen the president, even in the past week, you've seen him at 2 o'clock in the morning on the tarmac, greeting voters and Americans, engaging with them right when we landed in North Carolina. You saw him do, and that was 2 o'clock in the morning. You saw him speak in the evening in New York City when he spoke at an event. He has been consistently out there. Some of you may have traveled with us abroad, right? And it wasn't just the G7 or Normandy.
He can't do that anymore.
Like, that's not what he's saying. He said he understands about striking the right balance. But I think we also have to we got to look at this in its totality, right? We do. This is a president that has done more than any modern day president, right? More than historically unprecedented record than any modern day president. And I am happy to go hit toe-to-toe about his record. And so that matters as well. What I just laid out to you at the top when you asked me the question, he understands about having an importance to having a balanced approach and taking care of himself, right? He is human, just like we all are. But it is a 24/7 job. It is 365 days a week. That doesn't change. That doesn't change.
Meeting with the governors. So only three of the governors that were present at the White House came out. to speak and to say that they had the president's back. Was the president disappointed that more governors did not speak out in person with the reporters that were there?
Look, they showed up. More than 20 governors showed up. Three of them did come out and give a full-throated support of the president. Want to be really mindful because it was a political event. And the governors that had to leave actually put out statements. I think Governor Newsom put out a statement. I believe Governor Whitmer, you got to go back and check me on that, put out statements saying that they needed to head back, right? They had to leave. And so I wouldn't look at it in a tunnel view. I think it's important that they showed up. There was an honest conversation that was had. They showed their full support. And some of them who were not at the sticks doing a back and forth with all of you, taking questions, are out there, out there for the president and speaking on his behalf. Going to be really careful. Obviously, this is a political event.
So one foreign policy question. Viktor Orban today is in Moscow. The NATO summit is coming up next week. Is it troubling to the White House that Orban is showing up in Moscow to meet with Putin at this moment, right, where they've just signed up to join NATO and providing weapons, sort of a concerted way to provide weapons?
It's a good question. We are concerned. We are concerned that Prime Minister Orban would choose to make this trip to Moscow, which will not advance the cause of peace and is counterproductive to promoting Ukraine's sovereignty, territorial integrity, and independence. Russia could end this war today by ceasing their aggression against Ukraine, against their sovereignty, against their democracy. They can withdraw. They can withdraw right now. And so it is of concern to us. The president certainly is looking forward to the NATO summit. Let's not forget, the NATO summit is stronger because of this president's leadership. We added two more countries to NATO, and that's because of what this president has been able to do and because of the strength of NATO. Remember, Putin thought NATO would be weakened. It is now stronger, and because of the strength of NATO, they are able to show support and continue that support for Ukraine. Go ahead.
Has the president been in touch with members of Congress since Wednesday?
So, as you know, I read out, and all of you have written about the congressional members that he was able to speak to. And so we were able to do that. It was Leader Jeffries, Leader Schumer, Speaker Pelosi, and obviously Representative Clyburn. He is also, as you know, we just went back and forth about the governor's meeting, so he did that. There'll be some folks, there'll be the governor of Wisconsin will be on the ground, congressman, the local congressman will be on the ground as well, so he'll have an opportunity to engage. I don't have more to read out right now, but we'll let you know once we decide to announce others. Obviously, we'll share that with you.
Are you aware that there is draft letters calling for him to withdraw from the race in the House?
The president, the campaign has spoke very, very clearly about this. He is, and I'm going to kind of be careful here, quote what the president is saying. He's staying in the race. He's not going anywhere. I will talk about the last 3.5 years, because that's what I can talk about, and the historic record that he's been able to do. He wants to build on that. He wants to continue to deliver for the American people, and that's his focus. That's what his focus is. You're going to hear directly from him on the ground, and I assure you, just listen in, stay tuned, you'll hear from him. But he has been very clear. He spoke about it yesterday, July 4th. He spoke about it during the two radio calls, and he is continuing to move forward.
Does he value the thoughts of Congress members as he's making his decision-making? Is that part of his thought process right now?
This is something that I have said, that the president has said, which is he gets it, he understands. He said he had a bad debate. 90 minutes should not overshadow his 3.5 career as tenure as president. And I think that matters. And he believes that matters. We believe that matters. So he hears the concern, one bad night, and he wants to move forward. And that's what we're doing. You heard me say a lot the other day. We're going to turn the page. We're going to get going. We're going to get moving. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And that's our focus.
He also said that he's not a good debater anymore. He's not as good of a debater as he used to be. Are there other things that he is not as good at than he used to be?
I think the reason that he said those things is, as he has done for the past year or so, he's taken on his age, right? He's been very honest with the American people. That's what you heard from him. And he's done that before. when he says he's not as a good debater as he used to be. He doesn't talk as smooth as he used to be. But one thing that I could assure you, he is one of the best presidents to deliver in modern politics. That's what you have seen him do. And many of these people that you have mentioned to me, whether they're governors, congressional members, or local officials, have said this, have said that his record has been an impressive record on delivering for the American people. And that is something that you can see. You can see.
Is he thinking as clearly as he used to think?
The president is resolute, strong, thinking as clearly as he used to, especially when he continues to be zero focus on the American people. That's what the president has done.
Moving back to the governor's meeting, the president made a joke that it was something with his brain in that meeting. And very respectfully, is now the time for the president to be making those kinds of jokes when the country is watching him for his cognitive abilities?
He made a lighthearted joke, to your point, right? I'm glad you brought that question to me in that way, because that's exactly what it was. Many people who were in the meeting even stated it. They're publicly said that he was joking, and added all kidding aside right after. Look, you've heard the president bring some humor in the past. That is just who he is. And look, you're right, it is a serious moment. It is. There's a lot at stake. The president takes that very seriously. And I think that's why he's worked so hard over the last 3.5 years to get things done for the American people. You're right, democracy is at stake, freedoms is at stake, and the president's going to continue to work on those very things.
Does he feel the weight of everyone looking at him for the words, the cognitive abilities? Like, does he know? I mean, I know he likes to joke, but it's a tough moment.
Every president of the United States feels the weight of the job, period. Every president, because they're not just president, obviously they're commander in chief, they feel the weight of the job. And he understands that he has to deliver and will continue to deliver every day.
Does he understand, like, the slip-ups and the sort of mistakes that he makes? The scrutiny is, it's intense. I mean, is he aware? I don't know, you know, is he aware of this?
In the question that Annie asked me, right? He understands. He understands that, you know, he said it himself. Don't speak as smoothly as I do. I'm not as a good debater as you used to be. I mean, he understands what people see. He talked very frankly and very honestly about the debate and what people saw. He spoke to it.
That acknowledgement has only come after the debate. This is not something he has been forthright about ahead of the debate. Going into the debate, he did not say, I'm not as good a debater as I used to be. That's an acknowledgement that's only coming once it's evidently clear.
Just a couple things. After the debate, the day after, he spoke to his debate performance. So I just want to be really clear about that. He has spoken to his age. He has. I would just run the tape, look back. He has spoken about it and has acknowledged what people see and what Americans feel. He has acknowledged that. So that is very, very much true. He had a bad night. And he's acknowledged and taken ownership of that. If you heard the two radio interviews, he talked about that almost extensively in some ways, right? And discussed that and talked about that. Anyway, I don't think you've asked the question.
No, yeah. Is the president expected to hold more meetings either on the phone or in person with Democratic leaders like we saw with these governors and as we saw with Leader Jeffries?
So look, the president is looking forward to having more discussions with elected officials, with supporters as we move forward. Obviously, the American people continue to engage. That's something that he's going to continue to do. And that's something he always looks forward to. Certainly, I don't have anything to read out or call out on his calendar, but that is something that the president continues to do, will do, and looks forward to hearing directly, obviously engaging with Americans.
It seems like part of the issue, at least on the Hill, is the congressional leaders felt they weren't, that the president didn't communicate with them fast enough or after the debate performance. So I wondered, is that a mistake? Should he have gone back to them sooner?
I was asked this question in the briefing room. No, don't worry. I'm just going back to having answered. It's all good, Colleen. I'm happy to take this on again. Look, I think what's important is he's had extensive conversation with leadership. They have been out there. The names that I just mentioned, leaders Jeffries, Schumer, Speaker Pelosi, Congressman Clyburn, they've been out there They've been very vocal on the president continuing, moving forward. And so I certainly will let them speak for themselves, but they've been on many of the networks, spoken to many of you here about that. And so he's going to continue to engage. I can't take on every criticism here, right? What I can do is say more broadly what we've acknowledged, obviously, what we want to do and want to see, and we're going to continue to move forward, deliver for the American people, build on the successes that we've had. And that's what's important to Americans, we believe, as well. And so you'll see him on the ground. And I think that's really important, what you'll see and what you hear. Go ahead.
Can you give us a little bit of a picture of what the vice president has been doing to support the president since the debate and with the increased scrutiny and just intensity of the days since?
I think you've all seen it for yourselves, right? She gave a really, I thought, important CBS kind of quick answer about how she feels about being a partner to the president. Going to be really careful. I'm going to let her words speak for herself, because obviously she spoke to that in a campaign, answering it in a political way. And so she's been very cool. You saw her last night. They had lunch together, right, which they do pretty regularly. And they, you know, they have had, I think she's been out there. She's been out there speaking on her own, right, speaking very clearly about her support for this president, being a partner for this president, how he needs to continue to build on what he's been able to deliver. And I think she's been incredibly, incredibly strong and a great partner to this president. And so I think that's what you're going to continue to see.
Has she been more involved since the debate?
She's involved just as she has been. There's, you know, they are partners in this. They are partners in delivering for the American people, continuing to push the agenda that they have been set forward, whether, again, economy, healthcare, freedoms, you know, fighting for our freedoms, democracy. There's so much to do. And, you know, you heard me say it at the top. Congressional Republicans, extreme Republicans, want to undo all of the work that we have done. Whether it is healthcare, right, trying to go after Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. I mean, they have said this, giving tax breaks to corporations and billionaires. That's what they have said that they want to do. And Roe v. Wade, they're building on that.
They've also increased their attacks on the vice president. In these last few days, we've seen some pretty ugly comments made from the former president, profanity-laced comments about the vice president. There's been a lot of sort of sexualized discussion about her, her boyfriends, her, you know, as the first black press secretary, I want to ask you about how it feels at this moment to see the first black vice president.
So everything that you asked me is a campaign form, but I do have thoughts.
No,
wait,
yeah.
Hold on. Give me a second. I think it's gross. I think it's disturbing, and it's not okay. She should be respected in the role that she has as vice president. She should be respected like any other vice president before her who was in that role. And it is appalling that a former president is saying that about a current vice president. And we should call that out. It is not okay.
Can you go through some of the other things that are being done to help Biden manage his age? You'd said that he's speaking forthright about it, clearly. We have that he's not a good debater. We have that he's going to be doing less work after the hour of 8 p.m. We have the small stairs. Can you go through, can you add to that list? Since
kind of, I need to reframe something that you just said. The president... Every president, this job is 24/7, 365 days. You have early mornings, you have late mornings. Early mornings and late days. And that's going to continue. What he was saying, it's important to balance that for his own health.
Is there anything else to that balance?
Are there other aspects of that balance that we're going to see that you could help us understand?
You're going to see this president go full throttle. He's going to be fully in, going, moving. Straight ahead as he has been for the last 3.5 years, and that is going to be his focus. I don't have anything else to share as to what he spoke to during that meeting.
The president met with the prime minister yesterday, Netanyahu.
Yeah.
Do they plan? Yes, they called. But does he plan to meet with him later this month when he's in Washington?
So, as you just mentioned, he had a call with the Prime Minister of Israel. It was a call about the hostage deal and the next steps of this. What I will say is that they will like to see each other as it relates to the Prime Minister coming to the United States later this month. They will likely see each other when the Prime Minister is here, but I don't have anything to finalize to share. I will say, I know I had some questions about NATO. Later today, NSC is going to do a background call on NATO. And as it relates to the hostage deal, I know that the NSC did a background call yesterday. So we're hopeful about the direction things are moving in, but there's still going to be a lot more work to do. And we remain dedicated to securing the release of the hostages and securing a ceasefire. There has been too much suffering for too long. It's time for the war to end. And that's part of the discussion that they had yesterday, the additional steps and outstanding issues that need to be resolved to facilitate the finalization of a deal. And so I'm not going to outline those here, obviously, but we have also been exerting every pressure to Hamas to bring this deal to a close through our work with partners in the region. And so certainly that we'll never negotiate here, but we'll have more to share when it's time.
NATO is next week. Is the president looking forward to being in the room with all of these leaders in the fallout after the debate? And then a follow to that is, what will the vice president's involvement be during NATO?
You would have to reach out to the vice president's office about her involvement. I don't have that in front of me, obviously. Look, foreign leaders, and I've spoken to this a little bit, I'll just reiterate, have seen Joe Biden up close and personal for the last 3 years. They know who they are dealing with and how effective he has been. He has restored America's standing on the world stage, delivering for the American people at home, strengthened our alliances and partnership around the world, and repaired the damage that we inherited. We will be entering NATO summit, this historic summit, 75 years of NATO, next week with a NATO alliance that is bigger, stronger, and more united than ever before. And that is because of this president's leadership. When I talk about what this president's been able to accomplish, building on historic record, his global leadership is certainly part of that, as I mentioned moments ago. So we go into NATO with strength. And these foreign leaders have seen him in action. They've seen him personally. They've had conversations with him, obviously. And so that's how we feel about next week. It'll be an important moment.
And with the president, exactly, what is his feeling looking forward to next week?
He's looking forward to engaging with the world leaders. And this is 75 years of NATO. I think that's important. And NATO is stronger now than it was when he got into office, right? It is stronger now. Two more countries have joined. When I said this moments ago, I believe, when President Putin went into, with his aggression, obviously, into Ukraine, he thought NATO would be weakened. That's what he thought. And because of the president's leadership, that did not happen. If anything, as I just stated moments ago over and over again, it has strengthened. It is stronger than it's ever been before.
About how that's going to go down, what day, how much.
As one of your colleagues, Justin, said, it's a big boy press conference. And so the president's obviously looking forward to it. And so we'll have more to share as we get closer to it. But there will be a press conference, a full-blown
solo,
press conference.
It'll be on his
own
solo.
Full-blown press conference.
It's not clear what day it is yet.
I don't have that on the top of my head, but certainly we will share that in the week ahead, I'm pretty sure. And it's usually towards the end of summits.
Some of the NATO leaders have expressed concern about the president. Some of the NATO leaders have expressed concerns about the president. The leader of Poland, for example, has said he believes the president should step down. Of course, Poland is a country that has particularly high stakes in the continuation and the strength of NATO.
So a couple of things. Look, I'm going to let world leaders speak for themselves. And I've shared this before, and I've said moments ago, world leaders have seen him obviously in action. He has personal engagement with them. You have German Chancellor Scholz, who said, I think that Joe Biden is someone who is very clear, who knows exactly what he is doing, and who is one of the most experienced politicians in the world, especially when it comes to international politics. You've had the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, I've had more than a dozen phone conversation, extended phone conversation with President Biden. He also came on a visit to Israel during wartime, which is an historic first, and I found him very clear and very focused. Look, again, he's made the alliance much stronger, and that's because of what this president has been able to do. I'll give you one more. Brett McGurk recently did an interview about the five-hour stretches the president spent in the Situation Room with the president, seeing his judgment on full display, handling incredibly difficult situations. So, and you've heard from the chair of Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley, who spent hours with President Biden every week to speak to last year when he retired, saying engage with him frequently, an alert sound, does his homework, reads the papers, reads all the read-ahead material, and is very, very engaged in issues of every serious matters of war and peace and life and death. That's what I've experienced. That's what many of my colleagues have experienced. And this is what also world leaders have experienced themselves in those personal engagement.
I think the concern is that for a lot of these leaders, they hadn't seen him in a while. So when they saw him before versus when they saw him recently, there was a big change.
G7 world leaders were there. He engaged with them. He interacted with them. Normandy, there were world leaders who were there. He engaged with them. He interacted with them. And so he has seen world leaders. He has engaged with them. And so now he'll get to do that again at the NATO summit. And so the president's looking forward to doing that. I think it's going to be an important moment for all of us. And I mean, look, guys, we are stronger and have stronger relationship with our partners and allies because of what this president did. And with age brings experience and wisdom. And that's what we have seen with this president, because he was a senator for 36 years, because he was vice president for 8 years. And I think that matters. That wisdom and that experience that the president has brought has been important, and an important factor as we talk about world leaders and what he's been able to do. I think, are we good? Are we good?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I was like, I'm good.